What is up, everybody? Today's guest is a very special one. We have Jubal Horton. Jubal coaches dudes who are overworked in tech and helps them live life to their full potential, whether that be fun, family, habits, hobbies. This dude embodies the whole thing about the show, and I'm really glad that we finally got him on. It's always been great talking to him. I've known him for quite some time. So Jubal actually had a panic attack one time when he was in tech sales and was just really focusing all of his time, energy, everything into his job, and realized the unhealthiness of that. And we talk about that very event and how he switched it up, and now he coaches people in that exact scenario to live a more fun life. As we were recording the episode, Jubal was getting ready to call it a vacation and go skiing. He runs his own business, so he can do that whenever he wants. Pretty awesome. In this episode, we talk about New Year's resolutions, perfect timing. We talk about balancing habits with your romantic partner, especially important when you're living with them. And although, just in general, we talk about businesses. We talk about social deloading, a word we made up in this very episode. And healthy ways to play a video game during the week, if you'd like. He has some really healthy boundaries around video game playing that I thought was pretty awesome. I don't know how to do that, so I don't own any video games anymore. Well, anyways, this is a super awesome episode. Really excited that we got this one in the books, and really excited for you to listen to it. Please enjoy this episode of the Play Hard Podcast.
Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard.
My friend was like, this isn't a fun hobby. You can't say this is a hobby. But working out, like, I love it. Like, that's my shit.
So working out is definitely brought up a lot for hobby. It's definitely, I have this internal debate. Like, is it a hobby? Is it, like, a lifestyle? Is it a habit? So I think it's all of the above. Bro. Yeah. It's all of the above, dude. If you do it for fun and to release stress, like, that's, I mean, to me, that's a hobby.
That's
I would imagine. But, like, it's also a routine. It's also something that keeps you healthy. So, like, where does it really fit? Yeah.
It's like, what's the purpose, right? Like,
yeah,
for.
Exactly.
I think this would be fun. Again, I think this would be a fun thing to go into. But, like, yeah, so quick example from my end would be like, my fiance is a phenomenal cook. We eat really healthy. But for us, cooking is a little bit of a habit, but it's also what she does for fun is like create cool meals out of whatever we have in the fridge. And so like for her, it qualifies as a fun creative thing. Whereas she's traveling right now and I'm like, okay, let me take this chicken tender, like this like chicken tenderloin and like rub it in some like barbecue spice stuff and throw it in the oven so I can like sustain myself.
Yeah.
And like I do the habit, but it's not fun for me. I just do it because I need to eat.
Dude, I think right now we're just gonna like start the episode here. So right now, what I'm like also shaping this definition here because I've looked it up. I've had these debates with friends, and on paper, working out not a hobby, but at the same time, that cooking thing you brought up is great because my dad, I see his hobby is cooking. He doesn't just do it to sustain himself. He does it as a creative expression of who he is. He loves finding different flavors that work well together, different tastes and like cool meals, the presentation. I think that exists as well in working out. There are people who love like shaping their body to a certain type. So they follow certain routines. They love making their own workout routines. And this fits very well with what you did before your coaching things when you were a fitness trainer. So it's like when you're doing it as an expression of creativity and fun and to release stress, I totally think that it's a hobby. For me personally, it's more of a habit just because it's not something I think of as I enjoy it. It's not like, but it's not my definition of like fun. To me, the fun is like seeing progress, but I also like, I'm constantly scrambling to find workout routines. I'm constantly like looking for new it's not something I, as important as it is, spend too much time going into versus my hobbies. I'm like, oh, 100%. I'm going to look up what to do, different methods, techniques, like whatever. So.
Yeah. I mean, my philosophy from like a habits perspective, like you don't need to have the perfect, like for you, it sounds like exercise is purely a habit. It's like, I do this because I know it makes me better. And to your point, like, you don't need to spend all this time looking up, like, oh, what's the best exercise? What's the best thing? You just do the thing that's simplest and smoothest for you and that you're going to be able to keep doing.
Yeah.
And when you aren't like deeply passionate about it, when it's just like, look, I know I need to do something, that's all you need.
Yeah.
But then for me, like, I have been like a, people ask me what sport I play, like back in high school and college. And I'm like, I play basketball. Then everyone got taller than me. And then I was like, okay, I'm not very good at basketball anymore because the only thing I had was my height. And I started lifting. And by the time high school ended, I had switched from like basketball was like my sport identity to lifting weights was my sport identity because I'd just fallen in love with it. And that's continued on like through my, like out of, through college, through beyond college to now. Like, I really, really enjoy lifting weights. It is the thing I do for fun. It is like, I look forward to it. Not every day. Sometimes it's hard and it sucks.
No one looks forward to every hobby every day. Yeah.
I look forward to it most days. Like, it's part of the day that I really enjoy. And so for me, like, going to the gym is a play thing. It's an enjoyable thing. It's a hobby that keeps me healthy and happy. So it's doing double duty, but that's going to be different for different people. Sometimes you just have to do it because you know, it'll allow you to do other things more often or better.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to do it because it's fun.
And here at the Play Hard podcast, a podcast about habits and hobbies that keep you healthy and happy.
It's doing all the above.
Yeah, it's doing all the above. You're the perfect guest to talk about this. And I'm really excited to have you on. For the listener, this is Jubal Horton. He has a coaching business where he coaches entrepreneurs, founders, solopreneurs, and overall dudes in tech. He coaches them on how to get healthier. How you doing, Jubal?
Dude, I'm really happy to be here. I love the whole mission of the podcast.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And so how we first met, just talking on LinkedIn, I think really ties together a big part of this podcast. So we met once before, well, virtually, but you know how it goes these days. So we met on LinkedIn. We were just talking and you were offering, it was the classic, I really liked the post that you talked about, the things you were doing. I was feeling some of the pains of being in stress, but like feeling the need, like I had to overwork myself instead of this work-life balance thing has really grown over time for me. I definitely didn't always see it that way. And you were offering free coaching for some sort of, I can't even remember, it was like feedback, first ones to like or something, and I just...
So I actually just did this like 2 weeks ago. I do it every 6 months, so I remember, very fresh in my mind. I'm out of tech now. I'm out of the tech world. I have clients in the tech world, but I don't actually live there anymore.
Yeah.
And so one of the ways I like keep up with the branding, keep up with the tech world, and sort of guide my business so it's not just me trying to guess what's going on, is I go out every 6 months or so and I say like, hey, people that are high performing dudes in tech that are successful in their career and that aren't having as much fun as you used to, or that you want to, and you aren't as healthy as you want to, like, let me pick your brain and let me interview you for an hour. And in return, I will give you an hour of free coaching.
That's
what we did. What, like 6 months ago, a year ago?
Just about. And so how it ties back to this was before I had the podcast about habits and hobbies. And the hobby I talk about all the time on this is actually you helped me get the ball rolling, which is playing the bass.
Yeah.
And so I've been musical. I've loved music and played music my whole life, but I've always just felt this calling to the bass instrument. I feel it, man. I like the funk. I just want to get down. So I really wanted to play the bass, but didn't really like, it's tough for anyone who like starts music, doesn't have teachers or anything. It's like I personally go through the YouTube Academy. So just going through, but it can be a bit daunting having this full instrument being like, oh, I know how to play the guitar well, but now I have to start from scratch. Like, it's a completely different way of strumming, way of picking strings, everything. So when Jubal and I did this 1 hour of coaching, he's like, what is something you want to get better at? We were like really digging down, and I was like, you know what? I want to play the pentatonic scales on the bass. I have it remembered.
With my eyes closed.
There you go. I want to play the pentatonic scales on the bass in 3 months with my eyes closed. And the coaching, dude, really worked. And this is what I noticed about it. It was the closest thing I had done to actually feeling like affirmations work. because a lot of times I've done affirmations, but I don't, it's the tough part is believing it. This wasn't so much affirmations as like, I am great. And then like great, you're just supposed to be great. This was like, this is the goal I want to achieve in 3 months. That's what you're saying every day. And I did that for about like 2 weeks or so. It was like a 7-day practice, but I like extended it a little because I really wanted the effect. And dude, I'll tell you, this is what happened. This is how it worked. Is one day I was like pretty bored, didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden my brain was like, huh, let's just learn the pentatonic scales. Why not? And I didn't put two and two together that I had been saying I want to do this and not touching my bass. Like I wasn't even playing, but all of a sudden I started playing the pentatonic scales. I was like, this is fun. This is a lot easier than I thought it would be. And dude, by those 3 months, I could play the pentatonic scales with my eyes closed. Like I could do it. And it was thanks to your coaching, dude. It works. I was testament. Like it's pretty awesome. But that's the hobby I talk about on this show, is that I play the bass. That's all you, man.
So what you're saying is that I helped you start the podcast and I should get like credit. Like,
pretty much. What I'm saying is you should be on every episode, man. You should be co-hosting with me.
Just get a little picture of me like hanging up behind you.
I'll throw it on. Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. Here in spirit.
I get what you're saying about the affirmations thing. This is something that I think affirmations and in general get a bad rep because it's like, oh, I have a vision board and I want to be rich and have a nice car and have all these things. And it's like, cool, what are you actually doing about it? And I think people just do the affirmations without taking the action. And really, it needs both, where this is very classic James Clear stuff, where it's a very cyclical, positive reinforcing cycle, where if we use playing the bass as an example, if you're like, I want to learn how to play the bass, you tackle it from two different directions. When you start playing the bass, you are going to start thinking of yourself as a bass player, someone that plays the bass. Mm-hmm. And so anytime you're considering what to do, you're going to play the bass because you're like, I believe I'm a bass player and it makes sense that a bass player would play the bass in his free time.
Yeah.
So that's how you get to it from the action and habit perspective. Then from the flip side, you, by telling yourself, I am a bass player, it reinforces the action that you're going to take of playing the bass. And so it's just this positive reinforcing loop of, well, I play the bass, so I'm a bass player. I'm a bass player, so I play the bass. And when you put intentional effort into not just the habit side, also the identity and affirmation side, you move faster in the direction you want to go.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was having the affirmation be number one, the actual like goal and actions themselves. And then number two, identity pieces, not generic, like I am great, but something attached to that goal, like I am a great bass player. Mm-hmm. That is what reinforced like the identity part, is like having the specificity to it. And then it reinforced those positive loops. So but enough about me and the bass. Let's get into you and how this started. Like, how did this all start for you? How did you learn this? Kind of what's your journey into entrepreneurship?
Yeah. I just fell into it many, like multiple times over. Like, this is funny aside. I was on the phone with my mom the other day and she was like, I remember when you were like 7 years old and you had just learned about college and you looked up at me and said, I don't know where I'm going to go to college, but I know what I'm going to study. I'm going to study businesses. And so apparently at a very young age, I was emphatically interested in business and entrepreneurship. I don't think that really showed up at all through the like high school years. College, I was like a business and psychology major, which were the like two frattiest majors of all time. I could just basically do whatever I wanted and still pass with good grades. But I graduated and I was like, okay,
where did you go again? You strike me as like a where?
Gettysburg.
I was going to guess like Boulder.
No, I am out in Salt Lake now though. So
yeah,
I think I've probably morphed more into the person that would go to Boulder, but I don't think that's who I was when I was younger.
Gettysburg. But, wow. That's pretty close to Penn State, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those little tiny, PA schools.
Yeah.
Liberal arts schools. Yeah. So when I was looking at what I wanted to do after college, I was like, okay, well, I want to be successful. I want to make money. I want to do things that are exciting. And I want to have a cool lifestyle. And this was in 2016. I was like, tech was super hot then. It was the classic, like, move fast, break things. I was like, oh, I'll go into tech. And because I had no actual tech skills, I got into tech sales. Where I was like, okay, I can get on the phone with people. I can, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I can get on the phone with people. I can sell them things. I can convince them to get the thing that I want. Was good at that. Was really good at that. Made a lot of money. Got promoted. All of those classic things. I was also hyper-focused on the career side. And for the first time in my life, I wasn't eating as well as I used to. Mm. Not for the first time in my life, I was partying a lot. I did that in college too, but it carried over and it became a way of coping with the stress of work. I wasn't going to the gym as often. I was just super stressed all the time. And right around when I got promoted, I had a really significant piece of burnout. I burnt out. I had a panic attack in an airport. We were flying out to a conference with some friends and I was like, oh, I'm going to go up and go get some water. I'm like walking to the water fountain because I was like, something's wrong here. Let me go get a drink. As I was walking, I was like sort of losing feeling in my limbs. The vision was tightening. And I was like, oh, I should probably turn around because this really isn't good. And I want to be near my friends. So I'm like shuffling back to where my friends are sitting in the airport. And I collapse on top of the only other random person in the airport and like sort of roll off him. Long story short, this was my body's way of telling me like, yo, you need to do something about the fact that the only thing you're focused on is work. You're not taking care of your health for the first time in your life. You're super stressed. Something's off here.
Yeah.
Luckily, my friends got me on the plane. They made it through all that. But I came back and I was like, wow, I need to get my shit together. I did. And I reformed my exercise habit. I changed the way I related to work where it was a much healthier relationship. I slept better. I partied less. I ate better, all these things. And as I was going through that process, I realized as fun and cool and sexy as tech was, I didn't actually want to be selling tech. I wanted to be selling health. So I left. I became a personal trainer. I worked as a personal trainer at Equinox for 2.5 years in Boston. Obviously, that isn't super sustainable through COVID. So I had been there about 2.5 years when in March of 2020, I remember getting back from a vacation, getting off a plane. I like shook hands with one of my clients and he looked at me like I was like about to chop his arm off. He was like, what are you doing? And I had been completely dark traveling in a van for 2 weeks. So I didn't know what was going on.
Wait, were you in Boston during COVID?
Yeah.
No way. Me too. We should have hung out.
We should have hung out if only. That's fine. Yeah, well, yeah. So I got pushed online because I couldn't train people in person anymore.
Right.
And at that point in time, I was having a lot of conversations with my friends that were in tech and with some of my clients who were really, really, really struggling with like, now that I'm working from home, all of my healthy habits that I have been holding on to are gone. I have no work-life balance. I have no time for myself because my computer's right there. I'm working all the time. And I was like, well, I've been through this before.
Like, and remember I have that airport?
Yeah, I've been through it. I don't want you to get there. So let's work on this. And I also had my experience as a coach at Equinox, which was phenomenal. They do a phenomenal job with training up the people that work there. And I was like, look, I have the skills where I think I can help with this. Let's see if I can take my coaching skills and apply them to this bigger problem that I'm seeing with my friends in tech, with my old clients. And that's what I've been doing over the last 2.5 years. That's what I've been doing since April, May of 2020, has been helping guys in the tech world change the way they relate to work, where they're still successful, they still can perform, and they also have more time to play the bass or go to the gym or do the other things that are important to them from a health perspective and from a hobby and from a personal perspective.
Dude, that's so awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So I tripped into entrepreneurship. It was like, oh, I guess I should go here. Oh, I guess I should go here. Oh, I guess I'm an entrepreneur now. That was what happened.
It's just like, that was the natural progression this was not the end, but like a new beginning, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, multiple new beginnings.
Yeah.
And my 6-year-old self would be very happy with, apparently.
Business. A tangent is I totally feel you. In my 6th grade yearbook, every kid under their name would have what they want to be with when they grow up. And for a lot, it would be like veterinarian, astronaut, the president. Mine said Armand Uno, businessman.
That's perfect.
So I feel you on that. It was something drawing as a kid, but it never really happens the way you think it does. No. I feel like.
And I think when you try and force it, it, when you're for, like, things need to be hard. You need to work hard, right? Mm-hmm. And you can also effort things, like effort something to the point where you're taking the most challenging path there, because you're like, you're trying to force your way to a solution instead of the solution coming to you. I think that's true of entrepreneurship. I think that's true of a lot of different things, where it's like, you want it so badly that you're not open to easier pathways. And so you're just trying to push your way in the straight.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's like that one thing where you want something so badly that's probably like, it's almost repelling what it is that you want. Mm. And yeah. I mean, that principle I've noticed works a lot in careers, dude. I see it with a lot of times. It's when you embrace the idea of like, maybe this doesn't have to be my path. Like I really want to be an entrepreneur, but maybe, you know, it's not right for me right now. That's kind of when it starts to show up. That's kind of when your brain, you open up that space in your head for you to be like, all right, well, what are our different options right now? And the right ones present themselves.
Yeah. It's like if you've got blinders on, right? And you're like, the only way is straight ahead. And there are like just rock walls after rock walls after rock walls in my way. And I'm just trying to run through them. As soon as you take the blinders off, you're like, wait a second, I can just go around this and look over here. Here's the thing I wanted, but I didn't see it because I had my blinders on.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I thought the only way to be an entrepreneur is you had to be like a tech founder who goes through VC funding and all this. And I'll be like, this is just my story, dude. It was really causing me a lot of like stress and internal, like in the past few months, like not, this isn't something that has been like, I've really wanted to and looked for it. And I've just faced problem after problem. There's all these things. And part of me is like, in the entrepreneurship world, I think, well, you're just not persistent enough. Like that's an issue you face. Like it's persist, but at the same time, I've let go of the idea that like, it doesn't have to be a tech founder scaling through really rapidly. And that's when all these other different options started presenting themselves. Now I see more like different types of companies pop up options for me. And like the fact that I have kind of backed off and let the options present themselves rather than me forcing it into tech has shown that, yeah, I can do it a totally different way. And it's so much, dude, the amount of stress that's gone away from that, from not needing it to be in this mold that, you know, social media tells us is the right way of doing it, is helped me so much. Just free that space.
So you're saying that when you stop listening to social media, except my LinkedIn, then the stress goes away and things get easier.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah. And it's interesting because I am someone, albeit sometimes annoyingly, do pride myself on being like, yeah, I'm not on Insta. I'm not on like all these social medias. Like, haha. Oh, you care about what's going on there? But then it's totally like a mirror of me on LinkedIn. Like, I definitely 100% care. And like, it's been a learning work in progress, I guess. It's just like letting go a lot of it.
Yeah, exactly that. Like letting go. Like, wait a second. Let me detach my identity as a human to like this perceived career success.
Exactly. And it's also content curation. Like, I really do like your stuff. You teach a lot of the stuff that like you teach a lot of the stuff that you say what ideal state is, but you're also really good at saying you're not going to hit ideal state every day. That's just not possible. Like, here's what a normal day actually kind of looks like. Which is a good segue. Like, what is a normal day in your life? Like, what are kind of your routines like?
Yeah. So I am, one of the benefits of running a coaching business, a one person business right now, is that I have a ton of control over my day. Right. So my like every day of the week looks a little bit different, but like on days when I have clients, it's like I wake up at, there are some things you're going to laugh at me here for. I wake up at like 6:30. I don't wake up with an alarm anymore because not a flex. I just wake up really frustratingly early. And sometimes I wish I could actually sleep in. Mm-hmm. I wake up at like 6:30. I go down, get out of bed. Before it got cold and dark really early, I was going on a morning walk. I would get back from the walk. I make coffee, go upstairs. I sit down in my computer. I know a lot of the like hardcore morning routine people are going to be appalled by this, but I sit down on my computer. I get on LinkedIn. I engage for like half an hour, 45 minutes. And then while I'm drinking my coffee, right about 8 a.m., I wake up my fiance, who sleeps in a lot later than me. But she also doesn't use an alarm. So I'm just like, hey, it's time to get out of bed now.
Yeah.
We make breakfast together. I'll do some mobility in the morning. I'll read a book until about 9. And then from like 9 to 3 or 4, I've got clients. And with an hour and a half break for lunch, where then me and my fiance will again meet up, cook lunch. And we've been doing this thing recently, big lunch. That way we don't have to worry about dinner when we're both tired and we're not digesting later at night. Been a really good experiment we've been running for the last couple of months.
And then,
then 4:30, I go to the gym. I go to a workout class actually, which is something I swore I would never do, but I found a gym here that's phenomenal there. It's a lot of like the way they program the classes are exactly the way I would program if I was working with a client programming exercise. So I was like, cool, they do the same thing that I would do, but I don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
So I go there, do that, come home, eat dinner, play some video games, talk to my friends, hang out with my fiance, read a book, go to bed around 10. That's my heavy work day.
Yeah. Wow. That is ideal, man. I'm telling you, that sounds nice. Like a really good day.
Yeah. I have fun with it.
So how is it? So I noticed, number one, I think it's super awesome that you and your fiance have that time that you're able to spend together. And I imagine that's something that you've kind of had to carve out and do through trial rather than you just, you know, woke up one day and we're like, oh, this is something we do. So how has that been like?
Yeah, that's something that it's really interesting because a lot of this comes up a lot with a lot of the people I work with, because a lot of them are like in long-term relationships, young dads, that kind of thing. So much of like when you live with someone else, so much of your lifestyle is a combination of your habits and the two of you's routines.
Yeah.
And so we love long car rides because it allows us to talk about whether it's our businesses. She's also an entrepreneur. Whether it's our businesses or whether it's like what we're committing to doing socially or like what our hobbies are or like how we want our day to look is a really big one. And we spend a lot of really intentional time running experiments and trying different things out and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And it's just a constant process of like, hey, how can we improve the way we live our lives? How can we, like, do we need to change things right now because of the way the work situation is or the way the health situation is, or it's going to be ski season soon, so I'll probably be working a little bit less than I have been over the last 8 months. It's just like, how do we improve our lives? Because we have especially running businesses, we have a ton of control over the way we spend our time. Let's not just fall into working 9 to 5 because that's what we have been told to do or what we've done historically. Like, we have the control. Let's use that to make our lives as cool as humanly possible.
So from what I gathered, it's when you're intentionally coming up with these experiments with a relationship partner, or I think this could be used by yourself as well, but it's a lot of with the partner. It's coming up with the sauce there is like, how do we improve our lives?
Yeah.
How does my life get better from this experiment or not?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, how do you measure that success?
That's a great question. I'm probably more structured about the way I do it when I'm coaching than the way I do it with myself. First of all, does it work? Like, is it having the intended effect? B, is it sustainable? Is this something that we can do over the long term? Because even if it's having the intended success, if it's like a Herculean lift every single time we do it, it's not going to last, right? Mm. So it's successful if it's easy, if it's having the intended effect, and if the intended effect is actually the thing that we thought we want. Because sometimes we do something and it's like, okay, it's having the intended effect, but I thought I was going to like the intended effect, but I actually don't. And it's like, cool, then we'll stop and we'll do something else. We'll try something else.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And the second thing I was going to say, based on like the original thing that I really like that you do, is these experiments. Is the fact that you like take conscious time to experiment on your own life and to see what improvements you can make. Dude, that's when did you learn to do that? That's just so impressive.
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I think the one that sticks out in my brain is 2021. It was me, my then girlfriend, now fiance, and then two of our really close friends. We were living in a house together in northern Boston because we had decided, like, yo, why live alone when we could have a little mini commune? And I was an experiment I was running, something I thought of that I was like, maybe this will make my day better, is I would go on a walk on the beach because we lived by a beach at like noontime. And I did that for about 2 weeks. And every time I came back from the walk, I was exhausted and I couldn't get any work done, even though I thought it was going to be great. And I was like, well, that didn't work. Time to get rid of that. But that's the first, one that like really lives in my head is like when I started thinking about it as experiments, because I needed to let go of this thing that I thought was going to be really good for me, but actually wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. That's something actually I've mentioned in a previous episode about, kind of piecing together your morning routine. I think it's so important. I say this all the time, to try as many different things as possible and then put together what works for you. But underneath like the testing and experiments is not just directly copying what other people say successful morning routines are. I think every individual has different needs and different mornings. And I think like in that process of trying and experimenting and being able to say, okay, this is supposed to help or supposed to be healthy, but like to me it's not. It's totally okay to say, okay, that's just not me. I know plenty of people who, most people, honestly, most founders say meditation is one of the most important things that they've like helped to reduce stress and anxiety. Yet I know plenty of people that are like, I've tried it, it's not for me. And that's also totally okay, as long as you know what works for you.
And that's something else that I think is really important. I saw this a lot. This is a pet peeve of mine, but like I saw this a lot as a personal trainer, where people would come in and they were like, I want to lose a lot of weight. I want to lose 30 pounds. And they would buy the smallest amount of sessions to work with me possible. And they would work with me for 2 weeks. And they'd be like, this isn't working. I'm going to go try something else. Of course, knowing what we know about exercise, like that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I wish I had asked them at the beginning, like, hey, how long do you want to run this experiment? How long do you want to test out whether or not this is going to help you lose weight? And then just being like, look, like 2 weeks is not a long enough time to run this experiment because you don't know if it's going to work or not.
Yeah.
And so when you're messing around with your morning routine, your night routine, any new habit, saying, okay, I'm going to commit to doing this habit for X amount of time. This is the result that I'm looking for, that I'm expecting. This is my hypothesis for this experiment that I'm running. Let's go run it for the locked in amount of time and let's see if it works. And that's gonna, like, and exactly your point, like start with things that people say work. Start with meditation, with movement, with seeing the sun in the morning. Start with the stuff that other people have done that say work. After a period of time, be okay letting them go if they're not working, and then just run another experiment.
Dude, that package that formula up, put it on a LinkedIn post. That is fantastic. And I think the key element there is like really truly sitting down with yourself and saying, what end result do I want? Like these habits aren't to do good habits, they are to for some desirable end result, whether that be productivity, whether that be like less focus, less brain fog, whether that be to get ideas on a piece of paper, like whatever your result is, write it down, because sometimes the habit that you hypothesize will be the best for that isn't even the best one for that. There are other better ways to get that result. So I think, yeah, the important part is knowing what result you're looking for. You know, not just in your morning, but in your day and in your life or what have you is a key part to those experiments.
I want to pause there and then flip that around, because this is a conversation I've had a couple of times over the last week, and I think it's going to be really relevant. Like, it's almost New Year's. People are going to be throwing down New Year's resolutions. And this is a really relevant piece, is that I talk to a lot of people. I imagine you'll probably hear some people listening where they're like, I don't know what my goals are. I know I'm in an uncomfortable place. I want to get out of this place, but I don't exactly know where I want to go. And then what comes of that, I've been guilty of this before in the past, is because I don't know the direction I want to go, or maybe I do know the direction I want to go, but I don't know if the thing I'm thinking about is going to work, I am going to instead do nothing. Because I don't know if the direction I'm thinking about is the right direction. And when you, I mean, like logically, you're like, yeah, if you do nothing, nothing's going to happen. The antidote to that is also these experiments. It's like, okay, I don't know if this is going to work. I think it might work. Let me go run this experiment. And in doing so, you're going to get more information on like, this isn't working, I should be going over here. Or this isn't what I wanted, I should be going over here. Or this is what I wanted, it is working, let's keep going with this.
Yeah.
But if you don't run those experiments, you don't get the information back that tells you, yes, I am going in the right direction, or no, I am not going in the right direction. You just sort of say like, I'm not doing anything, I don't know what the right direction is, this sucks.
I think there, first of all, Jubal, not everyone's blessed like us knowing they want to do businesses. Not everyone gets that young age skill. But I think the problem there, like with that kind of mindset, totally my opinion, but the problem comes from wanting to find the right direction. Is there a right direction? I don't think so. I think it's the point of these experiments is to pick a direction and then ask yourself, did I like that? And then that's it. Like, if you kind of liked it, I'm sure there's something you could like more. Try another direction. But like to say you're looking for what is my right direction, that adds so much pressure on yourself. And like, that is where that crippling, like, I don't even want to try because I don't know what's going to be right. Like, I don't want to spend all this time and effort just to find it not be the path. Like, I mean, that's gotten me in trouble more times than I can count. So yeah, it's definitely, definitely.
Can I use your base example here? Because I think this is perfect. Where if you were like, I want to learn an instrument, but I don't know what instrument I'm going to love is, so I'm not going to learn any instruments. Mm. And you continue to not know any instruments, versus if you were like, you know, I want to learn an instrument. I don't know exactly what one, but I've always been drawn to the bass. Let me start there, because it's like it's the easiest thing to get into. It's the path of least resistance to move towards this thing that I think I want. And then you learn the things you learned. I know nothing about music, so I'm not even going to try to repeat the thing you did. But you learn it and you're like, you know what? That was pretty cool. I don't vibe with the bass as much as I thought I was going to, but I really like playing string. I really like string instruments. Let me go try I don't know, like another string instrument out there, the guitar or the banjo or like whatever it is you want.
Or like, I really like this genre. Let me see what other instruments are big. Dude, this is this played out in real life, in my life, with what you taught me on that thing. Because if you remember, it was 3 months was the bass. But for the year, I told myself I'd know the piano scales with my eyes closed. And I actually started. I did a whole year that I was gonna do a plan of like learning all these different scales and everything on the piano. Dude, I am not even joking. Like 1 to 2 months in, I was like, I started playing with this one band on the bass and I just completely dropped the piano and just went more headfirst in the bass, because every piano minutes was wasting time that I could have been my free time learning the bass, which is an instrument I was playing with other people. So I think, yeah, try as many different things. Like, I tried the bass, then I tried the piano, and then I realized I had better use of my time for the bass than piano. So, like, this skill that I learned was applicable here. Let me just continue on with that skill. That actually played itself out, and thanks to your coaching. And it just, it was, it, yeah, it was, it's pretty crazy how it's better to pick a path, pick a decision, even though it might be the wrong decision, because you can always course correct. If it's going to be a life-altering decision, then that's when you should definitely take the time to
slow down and think about that one a little bit more.
Yeah.
But most decisions are not nearly as long-term impactful as we think they are. Oh. Some are. But most of them that we build up in our head to be like this life-changing, holy shit thing are actually very easy to course correct on.
Yeah. And a lot of life-changing decisions could be as simple as, like, oh, this book looks kind of good.
Yeah. It's like, oh, wait a second. Mind blown.
Yeah.
Let me go follow all these directions. Wow, my life is completely different now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really think it all goes down to what do you resonate with? Like, what feels right? I'm trying to find better words for it, because lately it's just been, like, the artist of, like, what... Yeah, what feels right? What does your gut, like, your gut's another example, like, what's I don't know what a more, like, solidified word for that is, but a lot of times it's like I do things based on my instincts. Like, if this intuitively is right, then I'm gonna just send it.
Yeah, the way I talk about that, and it's very similar, is do the thing you're most excited about.
That's a good one.
And, like, it'll at least get you moving.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, momentum works both ways. Like, if you're moving, your default is to keep moving. But if you're stagnant, then you just kind of want to keep stagnant.
Yeah. It's called inertia.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Newton, or something like that. Someone's going to correct me in the comments. You fool. You didn't go to physics. I didn't. I studied businesses.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you...
Now we're here.
Are there any... So this question I really like asking people. I'm curious what you have to say. What, because I feel like you talk about it on LinkedIn, what habits have you had to take out of your life to kind of make the improvements that you've made?
That's a great question. So one was the morning walk. not the morning walk. The morning walk's awesome. The noontime walk.
Yeah.
There are going to be some, like, yeah, obviously, like, I've stopped drinking as much. Mm-hmm. I don't eat past 7. I try not to eat past 7 p.m. That's not always reasonable. What else? What have I... This is going to be a strange one. So my fiance has been gone the last week and a half. She's been traveling and visiting family. I've been here alone. And the first week... I did nothing social at all. I went to the gym and I worked. Those are the only two things I did, which is probably going to sound funny coming from a work-life balance, like somebody talks about work-life balance. What I found was that when I removed a lot of the other stimulus of like social stimulus, like, oh, I have to go do this plan, I have to go do this thing. It allowed my brain to really, like, think and just, like, go really deep into ideas, and, like, I could follow my rhythms and what I was excited about and go do that without having to worry about other areas of my life. And I'm not going to go become a hermit, obviously, but I found time periods of, like, really focused alone times, something that I'm going to lean into, I don't know, a couple times a year.
Dude, let's make up the term social recovery. It's like when you're working out, you know, you need, like, you're working out pretty hard. You kind of got to give your muscles a break.
Social deload.
Yeah. Social deload. I like that even better.
Phenomenal.
You need that. Like, I'm a big proponent of that, especially after, like, intensive social events. Like, yeah. I'm about as extroverted as it gets, but if I didn't have my alone time, I don't know if I would be. I'm still a thinker, you know, like, I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't be able to, like, just process things if I was constantly dealing and talking with other people. Like, I feel like the idea, it would go to this point where I'm always reacting rather than being able to like think for myself.
Yeah. Going back to your previous question, because that made me think of something. I have been working really hard to be bored more, to not be doing anything. Which is, it's like adding in not doing things. Yeah. So I guess it's an addition of a habit and a subtraction of a habit. It's like slowing down to let myself think about things, because you don't know where your brain's going to go. Like, my brain could go in any number of directions. I could think about something stupid, or I could have this genius idea for my business. But that only happens if I'm not like checking my fantasy football scores.
They're all one and the same. Those ideas. Genius, they could go stupid. Some memes. Sometimes you get memes, and then sometimes you get a business idea. It all depends. Yes. But they show up in those alone times, those quiet times.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, interestingly enough, my mom said if she were to go back, like the one thing she would change in parenting for me and my two younger brothers, she was like, I would have taught you guys to be bored. I would have taught you guys to just like sit on your own a bit more, just because I, you know, for whatever reason, maybe that's our generation, maybe that, like, I don't know. But she just said like that was something that really helped her growing up. But you know, sometimes when you're a parent, you want to do the opposite of your childhood, and then you realize like, ah, there's also a balance. You know, there are some of that things were positive, some.
And we live in a world where there's a ton of stimulus. Right? Like emails always coming in, phones always buzzing. Here's this screen to like, maybe it's to distract, maybe it's to educate, what, like whatever it is. We're much more used to stimulus, and stimulus is much more normalized than it used to be.
Yeah.
And so it's much more natural to always be stimulated. Natural in quotation marks, to always be stimulated, much more regular, I guess we'll say, to be perpetually stimulated than it was in the past. Where, I mean, I grew up in rural Maine and my parents were like, go play outside. And so I would like wander around on the side of a mountain for a couple of hours because that's, I was so like, cool. Well, they won't let me go inside. So I guess I got to just be out here.
Yeah. How did that impact you now? Is that why you love the mountains, skiing and whatnot?
No, I love the mountains because I can go down them real fast. No, I think it taught me to be, I'm very much an introvert at heart, and it taught me to, I was also an only child. So it taught me to be very self-sufficient, and I'm very comfortable alone. I don't know if that was because of, they were like, go play outside for a bunch of hours in the mountains alone, or if that was because like, or that felt natural to me because that was my natural tendency.
Interesting. But, yeah. I wonder, chicken or the egg? I guess we're getting in there. But speaking of stimulus, let's go into hobbies. And the one we really want to have a conversation on is video games. And kind of like we mentioned early on like your relationship with video games. Number one, first, let's go down the fun stuff. What kind of games do you like to play? But then what's your relationship with gaming?
Yeah, dude, I don't play shooters. I'm just bad at them. My like Twitch reaction time is just atrocious. So I like story-driven games, The Witcher, Cyberpunk, like things that are telling a really compelling story. I really enjoy, and I think it's cool because video games can be an art form to tell stories, although they also have lots of negative connotations that get tied to them. Yeah. I like sort of board game / card game style game video games that are just in video game form, and I also really like, I really like multiplayer video games that are a little bit slower, because I've got like two of my college roommates, we get on maybe once a week, we play video games that are, and because they're a little bit slower, it's our way of like hanging out, even though we're across the country from each other. We can like talk and catch up and shoot the shit, but we're not just like, not many guys are going to get out there and just get on a call together and the only thing you're doing is talking. So it's our way of spending quality time together while we have another activity, but it's also like quality time.
I've done that. Sometimes the homies throw on poker or something, like something we can just do on our computer while we're also talking.
Yeah. And the point isn't the game. Sometimes the game is fun. The point is to be with your homies.
Yeah, I agree. Dude, that was the first time I realized, gonna like my first understandings of this, you can exist in this virtual world, was like when I was in middle school and high school, a lot of times I would hang out with friends by playing video games with them. Like that's what we would do. We would go home and like, rather than just meeting up somewhere, like that was our like social thing, was to be, well, I'll make myself sound like a total nerd, but whatever. No, we would just like play COD all the time, dude. And it was like some of the funniest and like best memories happened in these like virtual video game rooms. And then it hit me, I was like, oh, that's kind of like what this virtual world that's being created, I guess, quotation virtual, I don't know what's being created, like there's so many different paths it could take, but I saw that those paths are real because I lived it, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, which says maybe we don't actually need to go to take it to the nth degree and have like the full metaverse, because we already have that now.
Yeah,
with just like, let's hop on and play a video game for a bit and
yeah,
then go back to real life.
I agree. I in a podcast earlier today, I was like a guest on one, and I at one point I mentioned like a Skyrim skill tree as like your life skill tree, and like that was my analogy.
Did it land, or was the person just like, "What are you talking about?"
No, I think it landed. Like he wasn't like that wasn't the point of the thing, but he understood what I meant by like skill tree type thing. Yeah. But did you ever play Skyrim? I used to love that
game. Oh, absolutely. I actually can't play Skyrim anymore because my senior year in high school, I got mono for a month right when Skyrim came out.
Oh God.
And so like I could barely eat, I could barely move. I was a mess, but I could definitely sit on my couch and play video games.
I like Skyrim.
Yeah. But now if I even like look at it, I get really nauseous. I get like a sense memory of having mono felt like, so I can't go anywhere near it.
Damn, so it's like when you have a bad meal and like you get food poisoning, you can't really think of that food. It's like you got mono poisoning from
Skyrim. I got mono poisoning. Yeah, pretty much.
But what are some of the things you do to play video games in a healthy way? Because I've talked to founders who also like video games, and it was kind of like I was on the same boat as this previous episode, where it was like I sold my place, or I like gave my PlayStation away, and I couldn't have it in my house because I know like I would rather, I'm just gonna play games instead. Like it's fun. It's quite honestly addicting. Like you get this sense of achievement and like you're doing stuff even though it's virtual, another whole virtual thing, but like they're really good at like whatever casinos do to get you to play, you want to play and keep playing. So I completely like got rid of everything, and that was my method. What are some of the things you do to play games in like a healthy way?
Yeah, I mean, hard and fast rule, I don't play after 9 p.m.
That's good,
because it will absolutely mess with sleep. And it's so easy to like, oh, just one more game, and then it's like 2:30 in the morning, and you're like, well, tomorrow's ruined. So hard and fast one for me is never after 9 p.m. Another one is like, if my friends are on, I'm playing with them. That way it has like this natural endpoint of like, okay, well, everyone's done, so I'm going to go do something else now because everyone's done. This is another thing that me and my fiance have talked a lot about, is like, I need my alone time, and so video games are a great way for me of like getting my alone time, zoning out, letting my brain, like if I've been really deep on work or on like being very present with people or being creating something, then I need some form of mental recovery, and I find video games to be a great way of like shutting the brain off, using a different area of it, and just like bringing the battery back up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I enjoy it. We talked about this with lifting earlier. Like, I enjoy it. It's also a tool that helps me recover from something else. Beyond that, like, yeah. I mean, like, it's hard to overplay video games if you're done at 9.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes back to.
I think the healthiest thing you do is setting boundaries. Setting like not just soft boundaries, like hard set boundaries of like, what are my priorities? Number one, sleep is more important to me than like is the important. I say that because I see a lot of your posts and stuff. How sleep is like one of the like critical things that will improve or hurt your life. So you set a boundary around sleep, and then you also know why you're doing it. You're doing it to hang out with your friends. I mean, you enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, you also, well, if your friends are there, why would you not? It's like if you and your friends were in the same cafe, why wouldn't you sit with them, kind of thing.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
So, I totally get that. I love that you set the boundaries and that it's, that's really awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, I have clients that I have to show up for, right? I can't just not show up for my sessions.
Yeah, that's true. So what about skiing? Skiing is something it seems to be a big part of your life, always has been. How's that going?
So it actually is. I only learned, despite growing up in Maine, like by one of the East Coast famous mountains, I only learned to ski like 4 years ago because A, my parents were very risk averse. Mm. So but
they would send out to the mountains alone.
that part didn't seem risky as much as like sending me out to mountains alone with things strapped to my feet and then setting me down them. But they were big cross country skiers. Yeah. So going on cross country skis. And I was like, this is just walking in the snow, but harder. I don't understand why I would do this. So I thought skiing was stupid for a really long time.
Yeah.
When I met my fiance now, she was like, look, I'm not saying this relationship won't work out if you don't learn how to ski, but you will be sitting alone in the lodge while the rest of my family is and all of my friends are out skiing. Mm. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to learn then.
Yeah.
And completely fell in love with it. Like it's just a blast. That's awesome. It's a ton of fun. Yeah. And this is somewhere actually where I get some imposter syndrome because almost all of my friends out here are better than me at skiing, but I still love it. I still have fun with it. And it's something I'm really enjoying learning, which is something I think, especially as you get older, you don't do a lot of like start from zero, learn new skills.
Yeah. Especially like something I've seen is not every single one, but a lot of, you know, soft skills. You're not starting purely from zero. Like a lot of technical skills, yeah, like if I were to just pick up coding tomorrow, like that is me starting from zero. But at the same time, there's very few like physical skills that you're just starting from zero unless you make the conscious effort to be like, I'm learning this new sport. Like if I were to just pick up polo tomorrow, I don't know how to ride a horse. Like I would have to learn horse riding and then polo. So like starting from very zero, you don't get that a lot, especially like as you get older, but there is so much benefit kind of doing that to yourself and remembering what it's like to be an absolute beginner and remembering what the frustrations of a learning curve is like.
Yeah. I think it does two things that I've noticed that are really, really good. One is it shows you, it proves to you that you can do something that you have no idea how to do and get good at it, or at least get passable at it. So it's reinforcing like, hey, you don't necessarily know what the challenge is going to be, but you're capable of handling the challenge.
Yeah.
And then the other piece is it flexes the learning muscle, right?
I agree.
You get better at learning one thing. You think about it with languages. This has been proven with research. People that learn two languages, it's much easier for them to learn a third language. People that know five languages, it's much easier for them to learn a sixth language or seventh language than it is for a person that, like me, unfortunately, who knows one language to learn a second language. Because it's a part of the learning process that you have gotten good at. And so it's easier to do with another similar thing.
Yeah, I guess one thing I don't really think about, and I feel like it's a common thing to ignore, but learning is a skill. Like the act of learning something new is its own thing that requires some learning. Like I'm not saying you need to go like study that in depth, but I think going and learning new things, you'll see there are your personal common like repeated parts of that.
Yep. Yeah. Something that a friend / mentor of mine has said repeatedly is like, always have a white belt activity. Always be doing something that you're pretty bad at and that you're learning, because it's humbling. It flexes that early stage learning muscle. It also teaches you that, oh wait, I can do this. I can do these new things that I might have thought were scary.
Yeah. It is very humbling. I think to go with that, you should always have a black belt activity as at the same time, because you could easily throw your confidence away if you're just constantly getting pummeled in one area and then you don't balance that out.
Yeah. To be fair, I think most people lean naturally to their black belt activities.
That's true. I agree with that.
So like, that's really interesting. I'm just imagining situations that you would be in where you were a complete white belt in everything. Mm. I think if someone was like,
dude, if you would throw me if you were to throw me in Romania, I would be an absolute white belt everywhere.
Or like, I was thinking like, throw me in the jungle. I'm like, none of my skills are applicable.
Yeah. None of my,
like, I'm really good at people, survive. But there's a tiger over there and I don't know what to do about it.
I can't talk the tiger out of this. So what's your black belt activity?
I mean, I'm a pretty damn good coach, man.
Nice.
No,
I mean, I attest, man. I stamp that with approval.
I say that somewhat tongue in cheek. I am really good at it. It is something I love getting better at. I am definitely not a black belt.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that like, and I found this with personal training. I found it when I was in sales. I find it with coaching. Like, you do it. There are a couple of levels to the curve, right? Where it's like, I know nothing. And then you learn your first couple of things and you're like, I'm a genius. I know everything. Yeah. And then you go a little bit further along and you're like, wait a second, I'm an idiot. I thought I knew things. I don't actually know anything. And then I think once you get to that point, you just fluctuate like levels of, I don't know about this. I figured it out. Now I'm moving on to the next thing I don't know. And I figured it out. And I'm moving on to the next thing I don't know. And I figured it out. And I think it's just like, man, I don't think I'm a black belt at anything.
Yeah.
And that's super exciting for me because it means I have not hit my ceiling on anything I do. And that is a very fun and exciting prospect for me.
And I mean, we got time, dude. But the reason I think about like learning is something we should learn how to do and do more is because to me, I look back at all the kind of cringe at all the times where I've been at that learning, the top of the learning cycle right before the big drop. Yeah. And I just think of how harshly I treated myself during that tumble. And I think had I put myself in way more like learning positions, I wouldn't be at, maybe it's also being a hard on yourself thing. Like maybe I just would benefit. I know I would benefit from like self-kindness and whatnot, but at the same time, it's like being reminding yourself that like, oh yeah, this is where I am on this cycle. Like, okay, I do feel very confident in this thing. Maybe there's a lot for me to still learn. Like maybe I haven't reached that peak yet. Maybe I should talk to more experts and see what their takes are. And just like lightening the hit of that tumble, because I know to me, it's like when I start to get comfortable at something is when I realize like I am by no means an expert, but I really enjoy the fact that I'm learning this thing. Like I really enjoy, for me, it would be talking. I love talking, dude. I love talking to new people, networking, and not networking in a, I don't know why I use that word, but like having,
not like handing out business cards to people.
I would say like, okay, I'm not even talking, dude. Here's what it is. It's active listening. And this is something I've been like really trying to practice more and learn more about and just be more about. And I definitely have been like, the more I try to flesh out what do I do well in active listening, like what are my strengths in this and whatnot, the more I realize I have a bunch to work on. But I also can look back and say, yeah, but these are all the things that I have learned over that journey, and I'm excited for the new things that I have yet to learn versus me being like, I know everything there is to know in this.
Can I get you to pause there for a second? Because I think that's such an important point. So I see this so much where people will get caught up in what's the next thing I can improve on? What's the next thing I can improve on? What's the next thing I can improve on? And they never stop to celebrate like, here is the successful thing I did. Here are the successful things I've done in the past, which can be a gigantic ego hit when you're just repeatedly get beating yourself down with, I'm not good at this part yet. I'm not good at this part yet. I'm not good at this part yet. When in reality, you're standing like very near the top of the mountain and you never turn around and you're like, whoa, look how far I've come. Yeah. You're always just like, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. And that's a really hard place to live.
Yeah.
Where you're never celebrating you're the never things enough. That are going well. What?
You're never enough for yourself. Yeah. Like that's a tough spot. I'm sure there's an analogy in there that we could make up on how people don't like looking down when they're high up.
Thousands.
But whatever. I mean, that's for another day.
There's one more thing I want to wrap back around to like the very beginning of our conversation that I love that you said, which was, we've got time. Mm. This is especially true for people like us that are on the younger side. And you were talking earlier about like beating yourself up about, I haven't figured out how to be an entrepreneur yet. I haven't created the thing. I haven't invented the thing. I don't have my own business yet. And it's really easy when you're just looking at like, here's where I want to be. But when you zoom out, you're like, yo, I got 10, 20, 30, 40 years left in my career. I have so much time to create this thing, to do this thing. And we are always so anchored in our thinking to our current reality where like 10 years, I will be 39. I won't even be 40 yet.
Yeah.
And 10 years prior, I was a freshman in college. Like what?
Yeah.
Like going from a freshman in college who's a complete idiot to now, like running a business.
Dude, and even 39-year-old you would look back and be like, I was a complete idiot at 29.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope I continue to look back at myself and be like, wow, that dude did not know what he was doing.
Yeah.
And I could not have imagined the trajectory that I've had over the last 10 years when I was 19. I also imagine that I'm not able to imagine the trajectory over the next 10 years. And so there's no point stressing myself out about like all the potential what ifs in there. Like I pick a direction, go for it, get information, change direction or not. Cool.
Dude, 100%. And to me, it's like, you do also, you can't just completely say I got time. Like you do also have to remind yourself like this isn't forever. Like I may have time, but I may not always have my youth. I may not always have like these things. But to me, that's why it comes so important to, going back to an earlier conversation, the knowing what you want. And to me, it's the being instinctual of, am I excited about this? I wanted to start a tech company and do all these things, but I don't know how to develop. So I would need a co-founder. There was like so many things in my way that I was like, you know what? Let me just do something that I have fun with. Let me just focus completely on something I genuinely enjoy and am excited for. You know, podcast. I meet new people. I get to talk to a bunch of people, have conversations like this where I feel like I learned so much in such a short period of time, do all these great things. And I am always consciously aware of the fact that, like, I don't have forever, but I got time and I'm having fun with what I'm doing with my time today. So I'm completely content with that.
Yeah. It's the balance, right? Mm-hmm. Like, happy with where you are and not gonna stay there.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally
agree. Because you want people.
Yeah, it's definitely a balancing act of like, I think life's just like constantly closing the gap of who you see the best version of yourself down the road. It's like, what can I do today to get me there? And that version of you is gonna change. But as long as you're living true to that kind of vision, then you're like, in my opinion, doing well.
Yeah, that's something I leverage with my clients a lot, is like the question of, imagine yourself like 40, 50 years from now. You're successful, you're happy, you've got the people that you love around you, you're healthy, all the things are good. Take the perspective of that person, look back on yourself now, and then what matters here? What matters in this decision you're struggling with? Because it's when you're really deep in it, it's really hard to get perspective, but when you zoom out and take that, like use that mental exercise, you're like, oh, wait a second. It's not so bad. And I actually do know what I want here.
Yeah.
Or I do know the direction I want to head in.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. I like that you do that.
I do too. It's fun.
All right, Jubal, I got some closing questions for you. These are some fun, quick, rapid questions.
Launch it.
So yeah, here we go. What kind of music do you listen to?
Podcasts.
That's, I was having that conversation.
And lo-fi when I'm working.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. So like, you're not a big music guy?
I've also been learning to dance. We didn't talk about that at all. Oh, but sure. My dance instructor's given me homework. He's like, yo, you got to listen to music. I don't care if you like it or not, but you can't count a beat. You can't count music. So you got to go figure this out by listening to stuff.
he
gave me a playlist to listen to so I could like, and I'm like, one, two, one, two, one, yeah. Two.
That's so funny. What kind of music do you dance to? Like what?
I'm learning how to do Western swing, which is you can dance like most things. A lot of pop songs work really well.
Yeah.
But
okay, so yeah, pop would be a pretty like classic breakdown of like just four counts and you can keep to that.
Simple stuff for me.
Keep on with the basics. Yeah, no, it would be difficult to dance. No, you're just jazz dancing. You're not giving a beat, just doing your own. That's art, maybe.
Yeah.
What kind of movie or TV do you listen to? And a podcast. What kind of podcast? Movies, TV,
podcasts. Obviously, the Play Hard podcast.
Yes.
Tim Ferriss, the Huberman podcast. I like a lot of long form stuff. Hmm. I'm not good with quick hits. I like when there's a longer trajectory. Shows. My all time favorite TV show is Archer.
Dude, I love Archer. Yeah,
I'm a child. It's
that
great.
That show is so funny.
Yeah,
because Archer is what we could never be, and that's someone who just not healthily, but lives such an unhealthy life and is able to live it to the fullest. Like you can't do what he does and still feel as like carefree and happy as he is. I think that's what we like about it.
One of the pieces, definitely. But yeah, I'll stick with Archer.
Yeah,
I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but that's my go-to feel good show.
That's a good one. What's something that you like about podcasts that keeps you in that long form? Like what about a podcast helps you stay for that full episode? I've been curious because I'm working on my own retention.
Yeah, I think you're looking in the right place right now, which is active listening. Because when the host is active listening, and this is one of the reasons I love Tim Ferriss, is because I think he's a phenomenal interviewer, especially at this stage in his career, is when he's actively listening, he's asking the questions that are going to be interesting to the other people who are listening, and he's drawing the most interesting things out of the person he's interviewing.
I like that. Yeah. I heard somewhere in another podcast that the podcast host's job is to be the voice of the listener.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I try to do this thing, is not just have questions for you that I hit back to back to back until the end, the closing question. But I try to make it like, this is kind of the theme. Let's jazz it out and see where the conversation goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, what books are you reading right now?
Let's see. What am I reading? I'm also like a fantasy nerd, so I'm trying to get through The Wheel of Time. I don't like it very much, which I imagine some people will be up in arms about because it's like a classic.
Yeah.
But I just, meh.
Meh.
I'm reading How to Change by, I want to say her name is Katie Milkman. Don't quote me on that, but it's a really good book about habit creation from the standpoint of someone with an engineering mind. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's what I'm reading right now.
Sweet. And finally, where can people find you?
Yeah, people can find me on LinkedIn at Coach Jubal, like LinkedIn/Coach Jubal. Or if you type in my name, Jubal, I'll probably be the one to come up, I hope.
Yeah.
And then coachjubal.com.
Flexing those followers a little bit, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, more like flexing the fact that not many people have my name.
Not many Jubals, yeah.
Yeah, that's really what it is. Yeah, coachjubal.com for if you want to learn more about my coaching, learn a little bit more about my backstory, or Coach Jubal on LinkedIn if you want to hear my thoughts on a daily basis.
Yeah, and really great thoughts and really great coaching. If that one free session brought me my hobby that I talk about on this show all the time, imagine what it'll do for you.
Love it. Love the plug.
Yeah. thanks for coming on, Drew. Well, I'm glad we made this work, and this was an awesome conversation.
Me too, Armand. This has been a ton of fun.